Derino from YouTube text in, Kenyon Green got cut by the Eagles. Would you bring him in as a backup?
What are we doing?
Why would do that?
Zero chance. Sorry about that, man.
Real quick, ain't there. He's not done, is he? Is somebody?
I think it's more likely he's done than he ever plays again.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's injuries or it's just, you know, work ethic and things like this, there's just clearly some huge hurdles. I mean, because this is not a guy that was given up on. I mean, he was given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity here in Houston. And
you're going to keep going for somebody you drafted 15?
Yeah, you're going to try to make it work. You're going to get all kind of opportunities. You're going to try to make it work. And you know, here he was given those opportunities. And it's unfortunate, man. But it, you know, with these kind of moments just validate what the Texans did. Because you could argue when he left here, like, hey, man, let's see what he's got to offer.
Philly.
Because, I mean, clearly – here in Houston, there's a bunch of guys that are still NFL players that are here right now with the Texans that were maybe not as bad, but really bad last year. And hell, we're all talking about how we hope like hell they're the pieces that fix this thing. And, you know, he goes on to Philly and you go, hey, they got a really good offensive line coach. They got a really good scheme. They produce really, really high level offensive linemen. And hell, the reports I've seen was he got hurt.
Yeah, he had a wrist issue.
And then he was back and was getting in with the second team in the third week of the preseason, and now he's cut. So it's just not been good for Kenyon Green. Yeah, I don't
– Yeah, I don't think they need to go and bring that back.
Oh, I didn't take that question serious. I was just commenting.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm just kind of putting a bow on it. I don't think they need to entertain that. Yeah, I think from the guard perspective, you know, Juice Scruggs and Patterson, they have answers there before needing to go in and bring somebody else in. I don't know. Maybe if you had a rash of injuries and he's somebody you think that you're familiar with, it maybe, because you ain't lying. I mean, he went from starting week one last year for the Texans to getting traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson and getting some reps there to, like, it'll be. I'm sure someone will take a chance on him as he was a top 15 pick in the NFL and offensive line issues and injuries and stuff like that. I'm certain somebody will probably take a shot. But he ain't got too many more shots, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, look, the path for Kenyon Green at this point is to lower expectations, lower standards. Say, hey, man, look, here's the deal. You know, if somebody wants to bring him in and put him on his practice squad, and if this really is a maturity and a development, you know, which is very possible. I don't know the kid personally, but it's very possible that this is just he was better than everybody in college, so he put out some good tape and dominated at that level. And then the work ethic wasn't there. The development from a workout perspective and you know, a body perspective wasn't there. Then you get up here and all of a sudden you're playing uphill. And not only are you not talented enough, but you're also not prepared for it, so you stay injured. Is there, for Kenyon Green, some practice squad opportunity out there with some team that's willing to give him a year to just kind of try to develop and see if they can get the best out of the guy down the road? I think that's what his career looks like the rest of the way.
Second time he's had a year. Second time he's...
Oh, yeah. Well, he's going to continue to get him. Hey, number 15 overall, get you opportunities now.
Yeah. All right. Clint, there's a few questions here that I think D'Amico and Nick are talking through right now, right? There's a few things that they're having conversations about. Let's go through a couple of them, get your thoughts on it. Let's start with the offensive line situation. How many tackles? We just talked about Kenyon Green, and based off our guys saying maybe should the Texans take a look at him? We don't think they should do that. But do the Texans keep all of those tackles they have? Right? We said it before the season started. Like, boy, they got a lot of tackles. Yeah. They got a lot of tackles, and it looks like now we're looking at a situation where Titus Howard and Arionte Ursary are going to be the tackles. That's what it looks like thus far. But what does that mean? You generally don't have three other tackles on your roster as backups with Fisher, Cam Robinson, and then Trent Brown, who we haven't seen practice since. How many tackles? How many of these guys you think are on this team?
Look, Ron, I think instead of doing a final roster and see if we can't guess the 53, how about, to me, it's just more about what questions are out there about the decisions that the Texans have to make. And this is one of the big ones here, is do they keep four tackles moving forward? You can leave the question at that, or you can continue on and say, do they keep four tackles on this team, knowing that the interior offensive line is where you're suspect and where you gotta shore it up, right? And so do they keep four tackles, possibly five if you count Trent Brown as well? And in this mix here, if you look at it, do you keep four tackles when one of the likely possibilities is the $12 to $14 million guy is a backup? Do you keep him, right? Do you keep four tackles on the team, one of them being Blake Fisher, when you've shown all training camp that you don't trust Blake Fisher able to protect for good reason? Like he's giving you plenty of reason. Now so to me, I ask all those questions, and the situations, the predicaments that I posed there were ones where it's like, I don't know how you keep four tackles with that being the case. I mean, you got to get help inside.
The only way is if they just count of, all right, if something doesn't work out, Titus is the other inside.
Well, that's where I was going to go. You can look at this thing and say, well, Titus Howard can be viewed as a guard. Well, that's fine. But right now, he's arguably your best tackle. And so you can take Titus Howard and view Titus Howard as a guy that can move inside if need be or move outside if need be. Bottom line is he's your best tackle. And so if you move him inside, you get weaker on the edges. Definitely in the pass protection game. And maybe not in the run game, but definitely in the pass protection game. So the four tackles, like to me, coming into this season, if you signed Cam Robinson and you got Titus Howard and you draft Ursary, and Blake Fisher is a guy that's played some for you, I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, my tackles are pretty shored up, right? I mean, tackles are pretty. I'm gonna be all right on the edge. At least I expect to be all right on the edges. You look inside and you go, I brought in Lakin Tomlinson. I brought in Ed Ingram. I brought in a guy that the Patriots cut as my center. I got Juice Scruggs, who's been a disappointment at center and guard. You know, your weakness, your concerned spot is that interior offensive line. So do the Texans view it that way? And do the Texans make some kind of move to try to reinforce that offensive line from an interior perspective, even if it's just depth, from an interior perspective, or do they keep the extra offensive lineman as an edge guy, even though that's really where you could argue they're – not argue, I think it's pretty obvious they're the strongest.
Yeah, depending on how they view the interior, right? They may view the interior as more shored up.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, Ron,
they may count Titus as a part of that.
Well, you can do that. Okay, but now you can do that if you're just talking offensive line. But now if you look at big picture roster building, you like, what's the point of keeping Blake Fisher?
Yeah. Having both him and Cam.
Well, you can argue Cam is you can argue Cam is one of your best options at tackle. That ship has sailed for Blake Fisher. Yeah. Like what we've seen this preseason, you're going to be scared as hell if Blake Fisher has to play. And so you're going to eat up a roster spot with him at a time when you're going to have to cut some, you know, you'd rather eat that roster spot up with a running back with Joe Mixon out and a Nick Chubb that's been injured. And I mean, a Damian Pierce that's been injured.
Well, I think the thought would be development is he's a second round pick in year two, and you want
right.
to develop in it. And hopefully you develop to a space where him and Ursary are your tackles.
Yeah,
that would have to have been the thought of the play.
Yeah, no, I think we can make that argument for a lot of guys. I mean, you're going to have to cut some guys that you can that have that exact case that they built. And four tackles for this squad just – and I'm not saying that Blake Fisher's the one that's got to go, but it seems to me like that's a lot given how your roster is built. Seems to me that's aggressive at the tackle position given how you're built.
Yeah. No, that to me is probably the toughest decision they got to make, is that what they're going to do with the offensive line situation, what they're going to do with the tackles. That has to be the toughest situation because, you know, you're looking at, all right, I got a guy who committed $12 million to that. Like, that's a hit unless we can trade him or something. But there's a $12 million guarantee hit, or We just drafted a guy in the second round last year who we felt comfortable enough last year in Bobby Slowick's offense to start multiple times and to start playoff games. And like that development has to be something that they're looking at. Like that. So development versus $12 million, one of our highest paid players right now. What are we gonna eat?
Yeah, that's just a big question. Like, I don't have the answers. I'm just, as a Texans fan, you come out on the backside of training camp and it's like, hey, what are the questions? What are they gonna do with Damian Pierce? Are they really gonna keep four tackles?
How many tackles do you think they're gonna keep?
I think they're gonna keep four and count Tytus Howard as a guard.
And so that means and
somebody
else?
I think they're gonna roll the dice as they did at free agency. I think they're gonna roll the dice on the offensive line again.
If I had to bet,
I think they roll the dice with the offensive line, the nine offensive linemen that everybody's talking about.
Yeah. All right, Kick Rocks, can we take a moment to appreciate that the big issue of the day for this team is the fourth tackle?
No, that was an issue. I got a list over here of a few more. But yes, to your point, who said that?
Kick Rocks.
To your point, Kick Rocks, you are right. We're in a really good place. We're going to be talking about like the third or fourth corner. We're going to talk the safety position because you got one that can't stay out of jail and you got one of them that is hurt his knee. You're talking about four tackles or more help to reinforce the inside. So I mean, yeah, we're talking about two rookies that can play at the wide receiver position. Versus John Metchie. So, yeah, you've got some it is a good place to be in right now with the Texans at cut date. For the most part,
you're still rolling the dice on the offensive line.
Bingo. Assuming like, the offensive line moves work out.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. You go in that first week, and these offensive line, Ed Ingram struggling. You got to bump Tytus Howard back down there to guard, and all of a sudden you got some struggles. You got to shuffle the deck again. Yeah. Ooh, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow,
Freddie
boy.
Freddie Ingram. Freddie.
Yeah. Who is Fred Ingram? I feel like I've met Fred before.
If he starts playing terribly, he's going to be Freddie Ingram. God, no, Freddie. Damn, Freddie. All right, coming up.